Vinyl peeps, we've got a great show in store for you. I know you're used to the cold open. We're not doing it this time. We're just getting right to the nut, because the nut is big. It's the Rolling Stones. We're going to rank the top 10, our top 10 favorite albums. And we're doing it a little bit different than we did the Zeppelin stuff. So we're doing it...
basically blind.
Basically blind. But we're doing a count up from 10 to 1. But they may not, we may not agree on everything.
Now, having a discussion with our guest director, Kyle, he said, the Rolling Stones are good, but I just don't really... I feel like some people don't take them to heart the way that the Beatles are almost always taken to heart by people. Then you'll have your outlier guy. Well, I hate the Beatles. They suck.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, for a long time, the Rolling Stones were looked at as the second coming of the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. And then at one distinct moment, which I think we both agree on what that moment was, they kind of veered off and started completely doing their own thing. And that's, the older I get, the more I love the Stones. Now, I still don't love the albums. I love like a couple of songs off most of the albums, but it really is weird the way that people take to heart these English rock bands. You know what I mean?
Any band.
Yeah. But when you think about it, you got some people that are just crazy for The Who. You got some people that are Zeppelin folks. Most people are Beatles folks. And then it kind of seems like the Rolling Stones freaks are kind of sprinkled here and there.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of albums together
together
for 62 years, something like that.
Still playing live.
Yeah. Starting a tour this summer.
Which is just mesmerizing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm 80, the last thing I want to do is go up on a stage and perform a song.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do anything.
Now, one thing I've always been curious about, if you're 80 and a rock star, how old are the groupies? What do you think?
There's some
60s?
There's probably some 90-year-olds out there. Go!
Well, are we starting at 10?
Starting at 10.
Okay. So I have an idea of what I think is number 10, but I think that since you've kind of led the Zeppelin show, so let's have you do it, and then we'll just start. I'll get rid of the Vinyl Ventures record.
Bye-bye, Vinyl.
Bye-bye. And go ahead.
Well, the Stones started in 62, so, you know, all the members were kind of rambling around other bands, and then they became a band in 62.
And originally, they were kind of, I mean, blues was taking Europe by storm, and the U.S. wasn't even thinking about it. And all of these English rock bands are basically the reason that we're still talking about blues music today. But the Rolling Stones really were, from the beginning, were huge blues guys.
Oh, yeah. They were blues 100%.
So what do you think our number 10 on our Rolling Stones ranked?
I struggled with number 10.
Yeah.
I mean, the first nine, I pretty much had a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And number 10, I really struggled with this one. This one was rough. And this is one I just recently picked up, which is, I got to take my 10 off.
England's newest hit makers. That's awesome.
That's their first album.
Yep.
And it's this. This one's not. Yeah, it isn't. It's in mono.
No kidding.
I was thinking it was in mono.
Did you just get this recently? That's awesome.
It was a deal. $10.
Yeah. I've always loved the cover too, because it's kind of reminiscent of the covers of Beatles stuff at the time. More portraits, and you know, then you have the kind of the jazz treatment on the back.
Yep.
But at this point, we've got Mick, we've got Brian, we've got Bill, Charlie, and Keith.
Yes.
And this is a great album. You've got Not Fade Away, Route 66, I Just Want to Make Love to You, Willie Dixon song, Honest I Do, Now I've Got a Witness, and Little by Little on the first side. Then I'm a King Bee, another blues classic, Carol, Tell Me You're Coming Back, Can I Get a Witness, and you can make it if you try, and walk in the dog.
And really, the whole album, except for one song, is a cover album.
Yep.
They're all blues. I don't know if they're blues standards, but they're well-known blues songs.
Yeah. I mean, you start the album with a Buddy Holly song. I mean, how can you really go wrong?
Yeah.
So.
And the one Jagger and Richards song, Tell Me You're Coming Back, is an instrumental.
Well, they got halfway there.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this time, you have to think about it. These guys are, what, like 19, 20 years old? And
yeah,
just don't have that rich experience that you do after you've been in a band for 60 years.
And really, I mean, a lot of their early albums were cover albums, cover of blues songs.
Yeah.
So they were kind of laying their roadmap for the future.
Yeah.
They were a blues band.
I think that's a great choice for number 10, even though it's their first album.
Yeah.
I kind of struggled with this too. I was kind of, in my list, number 10 was Steel Wheels, because there have been a couple albums in the Stones' career where they're kind of comeback albums.
Yeah.
And Steel Wheels was like the second one. And Steel Wheels kind of marked that time where they made a new album and then they started these monstrous tours that every couple of years it seems like they're doing. But I think that's a great choice.
Yeah. So England's newest hit makers.
In mono.
And do you have Steel Wheels?
I do.
Let's put it up there and talk about it.
Yep.
Because
I wasn't ready to whip it out.
That's okay.
So Steel Wheels came out in 1989, and this is really the last album and tour that is the quote unquote original band.
Yeah.
Because after this, Bill Wyman leaves the band. He's replaced, but not really. So they go from a 5-guy band to a 4-guy band.
Yeah.
And the guy that's playing bass, you never see. But the big song on this is Mixed Emotions, and it was a huge hit. And I remember when they played here in Indy, they played at the RCA Dome, which I think at the time was still called the Hoosier Dome.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to the show so bad. I was, what, 15? And I ended up not going.
It was a good show.
Was it? So you were there?
Yeah, in Living Color.
Living Color opened.
Yeah.
That's right. I just saw them like
4 days
ago.
I was thinking about them. Like, oh, I've seen them.
They're a great band.
Yeah.
But this kind of marked a new era for the Stones. There had been kind of a some headbutting for years.
Oh, yeah.
I think since, what, 85 or 86. And they kind of weren't doing anything. And this kind of brought them back.
That's a good one, because it is true. I mean, they've got all these ebbs and flows with the band. There are a lot of, you know, creative periods and periods where they seem to just hate each other.
Yeah. But I think at the time, the cooler heads prevailed, and it's like, we have this opportunity to continue making music and a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So basically since 89, 90, these guys have been putting albums out and been on the road.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like your choice though. England's newest hit makers.
And you know, if I had out of our heads that has Satisfaction on it, I would have brought that, but I don't have it.
Yeah, I don't either. And honestly, if I never hear that song again in my life, I will be just fine.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big fan of that song.
Oh.
I don't know what it is, but...
You know, it's weird. With all music, if a song has a big influence in a film, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I still remember in Apocalypse Now, which is one of my favorite movies, he gets the cassette from his mother and he's listening to it, and then they go surfing. It's just I don't know, it just had
that's
it's
a good
really
one.
Stuck with me.
It's funny how films can really drive a song or a band home. I mean, I think the best contemporary director that does that is Tarantino.
Oh, without a doubt.
You've got James Gunn, you've got a bunch of these dudes that if it weren't for the music, the narrative would kind of not have the charisma that it does.
Very true.
All right, what's number nine?
Number nine. See, and we just can't get the Beatles out of our heads. That's a double.
Do you want me? It is. Yeah. Do you want me to say it in Spanish? Número nueve.
Very nice.
There you go.
For our Spanish-speaking
friends, what do you think number nine is? I need to refer to my list.
I cheated and used these Post-its.
That's handy.
Goat's head soup.
It's a good one. Creepy ass cover too.
The cover is bizarre.
It looks like he's asphyxiating himself or something. Or he's being born head first. I don't know.
it's a strange cover, and it was a gatefold.
Yep. And there is an alternate cover. They're all being
asphyxiated
here.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange.
Now, have you seen the alternate cover? There's Keith on the back in the dark doing drugs.
Oh, that was banned.
Yeah, it's got the big cauldron, and it's got a goat's head in it.
Yeah, I think it was released in Spain that way.
And Portugal.
And Portugal,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But no, this is a good one. I think I could get on board with that.
I mean, the lead single from this, Angie,
mm-hmm.
Silvertrain, and Do, 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 Do.
Excuse me?
Do.
Took care of that at the press conference.
That's good.
Angie is kind of a quintessential love song.
Yeah.
And probably top five, at least top 10 songs of the Stones for me. So, yeah.
And this
totally,
was,
totally on board with that.
This was a little bit different for him because it was kind of a... There are a lot of ballads on this.
Mm-hmm. A little slower.
Yeah, it's a slow... Coming out of, because it was sandwiched between, there was a greatest hits out before that.
This was 73, right?
73. Okay. So it was right after their, what I'm going to call their highly creative period.
Yeah, for sure. So before that, what would have been before that? You had Let's Spend the Night Together, which was a live album.
This is, as far as studio releases mm-hmm. and not greatest hits,
yeah.
This came out probably right after Exile.
Exile. Okay. So, yeah. And that high creative period really kind of started in, what, like 69? 68. Yeah. So, if you think about it, a band like this that's kind of lived in the shadows behind the Beatles, they're gone now.
They're gone.
And you've been busting your butts almost as long as the Beatles have to kind of come into your own. And that high creative period for them really starts when the Beatles are on their way out.
Yeah. And they were always touring. Unlike the Beatles, who stopped touring because they were so massive, mm-hmm. the Stones kept touring.
Yep.
So, I mean, they received the moniker, the greatest rock and roll band in the world.
Yeah.
Certainly the greatest live rock and roll band in the world.
I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that you almost have to be touring. And I think that's just an old school thought.
Yeah.
There are bands that exist and don't tour. But the Beatles were really the first to do that. But, you know, the Beatles also were touring and playing really before the technology for bands to play in arenas and baseball parks and things like that were around. So I kind of get not wanting to do that anymore, but you're writing the songs, you're living the life, you're touring, you're a real deal.
Yeah, and those band. Early 70s Stones live shows are legendary.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all of their live albums are absolutely fantastic just because they're such a great portrait of the band. But again, we're not talking live albums, we're talking studio albums here.
Yes.
So that's a major distinction. So number nine, Goat's Head Soup. My number nine that I originally had, and it may still come up, and I don't have it, is I kind of thought Between the Buttons sort of fit in there. that one was released in 67. And again, the cover of, do you have Between the
yeah.
Buttons? Again, the cover of Between the Buttons has always sent me thinking back to Beatles for Sale, and the way, just the way the portrait of the band looks.
Yeah. Between the Buttons was my number seven.
Was it? Okay. Another one in mono, but I just love this cover. And there's two big tunes on here. There's Let's Spend the Night Together, which opens the record. Yes. And then another big one is Ruby Tuesday.
And this is the US version.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because Ruby Tuesday is not on the European version.
The UK version, if you're ranking them, the UK version ranks way down because there's some classic songs that are just not on there.
Yeah. And that's always been, again, one of my favorite Stones tunes.
Yeah.
But yeah, this may come up again later, but I agree with the Goat's Head Soup. This one probably needs to be a little higher.
But that's a good spot.
Yep. So we got two filled. What's our number eight?
Number eight.
And I can tell you what I, if you'd like me to, I can tell you what I kind of think.
I've got Aftermath. Oh.
We've talked about this one before too. And is this is an import. This isn't an...
Yeah, this is a, I think it's a Spanish, a German.
German. Okay. And we've talked about Aftermath, and I really think, what year was this? 60?
Aftermath, let's
66?
See.
I can look.
66.
Yep. So, as we said, the Stones were in the kind of in the shadows of a lot of British rock bands. But the one thing that kind of, other than the Beatles, the one thing that all those bands were doing was taking in American blues music and kind of twisting and turning it and making it their own. I really think that this is where the Stones kind of became what they are today.
Well, yeah. And this
there's one song on here that I think is the reason for it. What do you think? I think it's Painted Black.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Because it's taking in some of that Indian music stuff that the Beatles had been doing and introducing a little psychedelia, and there's just something changed here.
And this is the first time their star began to rival the Beatles.
Yeah. And again, just all of the, there's like a heaviness to this record. You know what I mean? It starts out with Mother's Little Helper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a...
I love that song.
Oh, that's again, that's probably a top five.
Yeah.
Because in the mid-60s, you're talking about drug-addicted suburban moms.
It was going on.
I know. It's just kind of an interesting subject matter for the Stones. But I really, really love this record. I love this alternate cover of it, too.
Yeah. And again, it's back to that kind of that jazz,
mm-hmm.
jazz and blues records.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what they were,
that's what
a blues
they were.
Band.
Yeah.
And I think this was their first album of all original stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's run down the rest of the songs on here. You have Mother's Little Helper, Stupid Girl, Lady Jane, Under My Thumb, another fantastic Stones tune.
Both Lady Jane and Under My Thumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't You Bother Me, Going Home, Flight 505, High and Dry, Out of Time, It's Not Easy, I Am Waiting, Take It or Leave It, Think, and What to Do. So, isn't Painted Black on this? Wait a minute. It's supposed to be. I think it was on the American version.
It was probably on the American version, and since this was a German version, it's
not on
there.
It didn't have it on there. It's just so strange.
It is. That blows me away. That
yeah.
Record companies in Europe, especially in the U.S., they're like, we want to make money, because I think America had kind of accepted the album culture.
Yeah.
And they were moving past the singles.
Yeah.
But in Europe, they're still doing the old guard.
Yeah. You can sell a whole album for three times what people are going to pay for a 45.
Yeah.
Why not do that? So this version does not have Painted Black on it, but it does have painted black on it. And again, that's, to me, that's like a 90 degree hairpin turn for the band.
Oh yeah.
All right. I think that's a good one. What we already talked about what I thought my number, we'll keep going. We're real close here.
We're real close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've already hit our number 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was 8.
That was 8.
Yep.
But I mean, we've kind of talked about between the buttons that we thought would be.
Yep.
And I'll tell you one, you know what? This is a good point when we can talk about the Stones, in my opinion, the Stones.
Your flare.
I know.
Be careful.
I got to watch my watch because.
Right. Ooh. I'm hooked. It's not going to just pop off your t-shirt this time.
So in my mind, this is the Stones' biggest failure.
Mm-hmm. And talk about like just egregiously copying the Beatles.
Yeah. And this is not one of our top ones. We're just taking a little aside, friends.
Yeah. It's a strange, it's definitely a strange record.
Yeah.
All the way down to the, like the psychedelic artwork. This has a lenticular thing on it. I don't think that originally it did. Did it?
No, I think the original one did.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, it's just basically Sergeant Peppering.
Yeah.
In their own way. Their Satanic Majesty's Request.
Which is just a weird name.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard people, and it's weird, in doing research for this, this album actually pops up in some people's top 10.
There's one song on here that I absolutely love that Kiss ended up doing, and that's 2000 Man.
Yeah.
That's a really great song. But, you know, She's a Rainbow is also a great song.
Yeah. At 2000 Light Years from Home. This is one that I didn't have, but I bought for the Renticular cover because I'm like, I got to have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the only Stones album that I have that I've heard once. I don't want to hear it again.
See, I love She's a Rainbow. And look at all this just crazy stuff. All these, God only knows where all this artwork is from.
Drugs.
But, well, yeah, of course. But the thing about it is it's almost exactly like Sergeant Pepper's. Yeah.
And I mean, nobody denies it.
No. No. But that, I mean, it's an interesting like step along the way, but kind of by a lot of people considered a misstep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love She's a Rainbow though.
And that's, I mean, they were embracing the whole psychedelic scene.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for them. They should have just kept being them.
Yeah. Is this 68 that this came out?
That I don't know. 67.
Oh, okay. So, what month in 67?
Oh boy. You're really making it hard, aren't you?
Yeah.
Between the Buttons came out before this.
Mm-hmm.
And then this came out in, do you know what month Sgt. Pepper's came out?
That's what I'm coming up with. So May.
Okay, this
was the end of May in 1967.
Yeah, so this was released in December.
Okay. So they had a few months to.
Yeah. But they were recording it from February to October.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder if it had a title when they were recording it.
Yeah.
No, it's very much just a blatant ripoff of what the biggest band in the world was doing.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, in hindsight, you can look at those steps that bands take and say, they should have just stuck with what they were doing. But you've got record company people. You've got,
there's so many influences.
Managers. You've got tour managers. All these people wanting a piece of the pie, and that, you know, you've just got to keep that machine grinding the sausage out.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay. So we have done number 10, number 9, number 8.
Now number 6.
Now, and 7. Now number 6, which is?
Number 6 My number six is Tattoo You.
I agree. I love...
Perfect.
I've always loved the artwork. It's... Do you know who it is on the cover? I don't.
It... I think there was a model.
And then they just drew all the stuff.
Yeah. And they tried to make it resemble maybe Mick as closely as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've always thought, is it kind of looks like him. I brought mine. It's still on the condom. I love the back cover too.
Yeah. Then you know who that is. Yeah. That's Keith.
Yeah. There's no doubt. But the cool thing about Tattoo You is that this is like their first comeback.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And it's always good when you're having a comeback to have an enormous song, and Start Me Up was that enormous song on this record.
Yeah. And the whole album is leftovers from their sessions dating back, I think, to maybe right after Exile.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all leftovers. And the engineer went back. They were trying to figure out what to do. And one of their engineers went back and listened to all the tapes of Leftovers.
No kidding.
And found songs.
Huh.
And there were different takes.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, why don't you do these?
Yeah.
And they're like, that's a great idea.
Well, it's just that opening guitar part from Start Me Up is like... immediately identifiable, even for people that don't like the band. You know who that band is, and you know what that song is. Hang Fire, also a great tune. Slave, Little TNA. What are they talking about? Black Limousine, Neighbors, Worried About You, Tops, Heaven, No Use in Crying, and Waiting on a Friend. And Waiting on a Friend, that's a good tune, but have you seen the video?
Yeah, the video's
kind of... It is real bad. I mean, like, cringy bad.
And they're... I don't know that any of their music videos were very good.
Not in the beginning, no. Because, I mean, you think about it. In 1980, 1981, MTV doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
And most record companies didn't even... They didn't look at music videos as its own art. They looked at them as promotional pieces.
Right.
You know, kind of to go out with the single and then when the album goes out. And there wasn't anywhere that really aired that kind of thing until MTV came along 2 years later, right? Was it 83 or 82?
In that realm.
Yeah. But, you know, so I think any band that had a terrible video at that point has kind of given a little grace because it was the beginning of a new medium.
Yeah, and they weren't... They didn't need videos to really sell their music.
Right, right.
Maybe to sell it to a younger generation. Yeah. But this tour was massive.
Yeah. Did you see him?
I did not see him on this tour.
Oh.
It's one of my concert regrets. I had chances.
Yeah.
I just didn't grab hold.
Why not?
I don't know. I was in high school, and it's like,
had other priorities.
Yeah.
Like girls.
Yeah, there were other things. And, I mean, they weren't, it's not like they played some, I mean, it was not easy to get tickets.
Right.
So even, like, their Soldier Field in Chicago, their Soldier Field shows are legendary for that tour.
I obviously did not see that tour, but I have seen the Stones at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
In October, and froze my... You know what's off.
Yeah. That'll do it in October.
No, that's a good one. So this is our number six.
Number six.
Rolling Stones, Tattoo You. Kind of their first comeback record.
Really it is, because they'd kind of... It's not that they didn't have hit records, but they were not... They didn't have number one hits.
Right. Right. And... Let's see. The one... The record before this one... was Emotional Rescue.
Which, I like Emotional Rescue.
I do too.
I know a lot of people will poo-poo it, and it doesn't wind up in many top tens, but I really like that record.
I do too. I do too. It's a really great... I love that song. You've got Emotional Rescue, you've got She's So Cold. That's two great songs on there. So, all right, man. Number six.
Number six.
So we're almost halfway done.
We're almost halfway done. And oh boy.
What is
number five?
What is number five feeling like to you?
This is when we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Number five.
Some yes.
Girls.
What a great record.
Oh.
I love the album. I love the die cut thing with the, you know, they got in trouble for this. They had to, who was it? Was it Marilyn Monroe's Image?
Yeah.
Sandra D? Somebody got pissed that they used their image in this and they had to like wipe it and replace, and they ended up replacing it with Charlie's face.
Yeah.
It's a great cover. I mean, when you think about it, how hard it would be at that time to be in the middle of a machine that's writing music, that's touring the world, and, you know, doing interviews and press and media and keeping that whole thing going, and the artwork. And their artwork is just almost always really, really great.
Oh, yeah. And this came out in 78, and I mean, you can't ignore what was going on with music because punk is coming in.
Disco.
Disco is pretty much
huge.
Planted.
Yep. So you've got a blues-based, an English blues-based rock and roll band that's been around at that point for, 15, 16 years, and you're competing against types of music that are almost four square against what you're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, what they've kind of done throughout their career, they kind of tried to play around with hopping in those different genres.
Mm-hmm. Like Emotional Rescue.
Yeah.
That's
the disco album.
Yeah. It's kind of their disco album, and he's singing falsetto.
Yeah.
On there, which I love it. I mean,
I do too.
To be able to pull that off,
I mean,
that's a big step. This is a fantastic album. It starts off with Miss You, Some Girls, Before They Make Me Run, When the Whip Comes Down.
Oh, When the Whip Comes Down.
Oh, that's a great song. Lies, Beast of Burden, probably another top five song from them. Faraway Eyes, Imagination, Respectable, and
Shattered.
Shadoobie.
Which is maybe a little punky.
Yeah. It's a very strange song. And it's a, he's talk singing through most of that, which obviously that's right up your alley.
Yeah, that checks a lot of boxes for
me.
But the art design, I love that they carried it through on the back of the cover.
Yeah. It's so cool. I love this album.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm comfortable with it in fifth.
Where did you have it?
I think I had it in, let me look. I had it in fourth.
In fourth.
But that's close, like I said.
So we're right there.
I don't think we're going to have like the really tough, because they have so much to cull from.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Zeppelin had 9 records, right? I think it's easier when you have more to choose from. If you like the band, if you're not a fan, that may make it more difficult. But fifth is definitely a good place.
And it's not a long record, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most weren't.
No.
I mean, most records were, 37 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is about as much as you can put. 20 minutes is about as much as you can put on a side of an album and still have it sound okay once it gets toward the inside. But yeah, that's a good one, man.
And let's see, what were the lots of singles from this? Miss You
had to be
Beast of Burden, Respectable, and Shattered.
I mean, 4 singles.
Yeah.
In the middle of the disco and punk era.
Yeah, for a band that had been around for
16 years?
16 years.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Awesome. Do I have Some Girls? Oh, I do. And is it different? Yes. Mine's different. Huh. So did you buy this in the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see what CDs. I don't know. I do know. I mean, you can see that the images are different.
Oh, yeah. In there. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, aren't there other? Yeah.
You can turn that around.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just, we love that die cut.
Die cut.
Thing where you can slip different things in there.
Die cut albums are so cool because it gets down to the art of the album.
Right.
And I mean, the Stones understood that.
It's a different, it goes hand in hand with rock bands.
Yeah.
Where I first saw it was being a huge fan of Rush. I mean, they're...
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, bands realized that early. That's why you had bands like Pink Floyd and had people working with them on their art. And I think people took notice of what the Stones were doing in that area and just took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
So...
By 76, the Stones' popularity was in decline.
Oh, yeah.
So this was kind of another comeback.
Kind of a...
they've got a bunch of those ebbs and flows.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, in the 80s to the 90s through now, there have been long spans of time in between records. I mean, they just put the new one out last year. And
yeah.
That's the first one without Charlie. But you know, it's just so weird to process a band that's been around, you know, almost as long as your parents have.
Yeah.
And, still putting out new music.
And this
at 80 years old.
Yeah. And this one features, you know, it's Ron Wood now.
Yep. Yep.
So it's the Stones that pretty much everybody knows. Ron Wood's been with the band longer than Brian Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or Mick Taylor.
Mick Taylor. Yep. Was it 77 that Ron joined?
Let's see.
We don't need. I hate to keep throwing the wrenches in, but little things like that. Because I thought I just heard that there was a big anniversary of him being in the band. Might have been 74.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit earlier.
Because I think Faces announced their breakup in December of 75, and Ron Wood was officially declared a member of the Rolling Stones on 23 April 1976.
Yeah, so it's right there, right as they were. So this is his first full.
Yeah, so he's been in the band for 47 and a half years.
Yeah. And, well... And when Mick Taylor joined the band, they really wanted Ron Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I think Faces helped them demo some stuff too.
Yeah.
Or at least laid down initial tracks for a couple of songs.
I mean, it's funny, in the replacement guitarist phase, they would audition. Clapton's auditioned to be a part.
Of the Stones?
Yes.
Wow.
And... these guys will tell you, John Mayhall did.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you that they didn't know they were auditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there were so many drugs flying around.
Yeah.
They probably didn't know what their name was. So, number five. Is Some Girls.
Some Girls.
Fantastic record. So, we're beyond the halfway point. I'm bringing my list back up. I'm not checking my phone. I'm looking at my list. What is...
Do you want to bring up number four? Why don't you do it?
What I think number four is?
Yes.
Let me... Well, it may be one of the ones that I do not have.
Oh.
And I think it is.
Well, I'll bring my number four up.
Please do.
Number four, Exile on Main Street.
What a great record.
This is a great record, and I mean, in truth, the top four could be in any
interchangeable
order.
Yep.
And you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody who doesn't have the top four in some sort of order is really missing the boat, because this is during their, what I'm calling their high creative period. Mm-hmm.
So this was released in 1972, the end of May in 1972. This actually has my favorite Rolling Stone song ever on it. Tumbling Dice is just, I could listen to that on repeat over and over. They did an album, I think in 95. It was a live album. You know, the big thing in the late 80s and early 90s were the unplugged things.
Oh, yeah.
And the Stones did it, you know, in a timely fashion in like 94, 95. And they had an album called Stripped, kind of stripped down. And all of the versions of their songs on that record are fantastic. Again, it's not a studio album, so it doesn't count in this countdown. But Tumbling Dice is, without a doubt, my favorite Stones song. It's just a perfect song. And this is this is a double record, too.
Yeah, and it's their only double studio release. And again, I'm not counting the newer stuff after the CD era.
Right, right. That totally changed everything.
Yeah.
I mean, once CDs became the replacement for records,
yeah,
bands would, you know, wouldn't even blink to put 15, 16 songs on just to give the illusion that you were getting your money's worth, you know.
Very 10, true.
10 to 12 songs, that's about it for records,
yeah,
single records. But it's funny because Tumbling Dice was released April 14, 1972 as the first single from this, and Happy is the only other single on here.
There are not a bunch of singles from this. It's more of the Stones getting back to their root, mm-hmm, their blues roots. It's, yeah, a very bluesy, raw album.
But you just kind of think that with a double album, there'd be more singles, because we just talked about,
yeah,
you know, Tattoo You having like three, and all these other have four singles, and a double album that only has one. I find that curious. But I've always loved the artwork in here too.
Oh yeah.
It's so strange. A lot of photography. And these guys really were really in their groove at this point.
I think they had a thing for Joan Crawford because she's one of the pictures that
in some
up.
Girls.
Yeah, in some girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why not?
Why not? Why not, Joan?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, one thing's for sure. They weren't using wire hangers.
No wire hangers.
So Exile has made its way into the countdown, and it's at number four.
Number four.
I
and
like
it came
it.
Out in 72.
72.
And they'd been, at least they say they've been recording it since 70, but maybe working on the songs that wound up on this album.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's great. I've always loved this picture of this guy. He's got like three pool balls in
his
mouth.
It's hilarious that I think it's a circus picture or something.
Or a freak show picture.
Yeah, like
or something.
A freak show picture.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that can put three pool balls in their mouth.
Yeah.
I'm always looking.
That's always the, it's funny you mentioned that. That's always the picture that I'm drawn to on this album too.
It's strange. I couldn't tell you what else is on here.
But I always look at that one. Yeah. I mean, even as we're talking about it, I just keep looking at that one picture.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting that it almost looks like, I mean, the band name and title of the album are up here, but it's almost like a second thought. Like they were going to print with this and they're like, oh shit. Give me a Sharpie. And they just...
Give me a Sharpie. I'll just write it on there.
I'll just write it on there. No, that's a good one, man.
And it originally was met with mixed reviews before receiving strong reviews by the end of the 70s.
Took a while for it to kick
and,
in.
And huh? I mean, some of that may be the reason it only had two singles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing that we really haven't talked about in with any of this stuff is the all of the crazy shit going on with the band and the tax issues that they were having and the drug use and the personal lives. I mean, trying to manage life isn't easy at all.
No.
You know, and then you're a rock star and you've got to put these records out and go perform and be in the public eye and everybody knows who you are.
There were certain countries they couldn't even perform in at this time. And I don't even think any of the band was living in the UK at the time because of tax issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe they recorded a bunch of this at Keith had a house in the south of France, mm-hmm. and they recorded some of it in the basement.
Yeah, yeah. There was a mobile recording unit that they used, and Zeppelin used,
yeah.
and a couple other bands used. They just pull up, plug everything in, and you know, set the drums up in the stairway, and
but it was this old it was this old house that had a musty, very hot basement. So a lot of the session, they're just performing in jeans.
Hey, why not? Old school. So, what's this?
Oh, this is a repop that was in kind of, the cover's kind of beat up, but the records were in good shape, so.
Yeah, good one. I don't know if my version of that is, I know I have it here.
So what did you have at number four?
Yeah, well, sorry. This I ended up buying the Abbey Road Half Speed Master of this that came out.
That's a good call.
What, like,
I remember when that came out. I should have gotten that.
Yeah, I can't. I don't remember when it came out, but it's cool. It's got the OBI type strip, and yeah, it's a good one. When I go to listen to the Stones, this is one that I absolutely pull out and hear.
It's definitely one that you're not looking for one song. You want to hear the whole
album.
And
I think a lot of double albums are kind of that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Physical Graffiti comes to mind. But yeah, mine's...
Oh, well, you know, why didn't they put out Rocks Off or Rip This Joint?
Yeah.
Shake Your Hips. I mean, there's so many good songs mm-hmm. on this.
Yeah. Happy's a good song. I mean, that's one of the singles. But yeah, there are legitimately like four or five songs that you would look at and say, oh, that would be a single.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. So, anywho, Exile, number four. I'm going to put this in here.
So now we get down to three.
Okay.
And there were three.
And then there were three. Well, I can tell you what I think number three is.
Okay.
And you can disagree or not. And it's one that you bought me for Christmas a few years
ago. Oh!
Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers.
We almost talk about this record as much as we talk about Dark Side of the Moon. And this record is infamous for a lot of reasons. Their association with Andy and, you know, all the artwork. And you've got the working zipper here, which was apparently a nightmare for record shippers and retailers.
I mean, the thing is, when you buy used copies of this, you have to make sure the zipper has not imprinted
on the
vinyl.
Yeah, yeah. But this is just another one of their great records, man.
Yeah, it's...
stark artwork. Close-up of a midsection, front and back. And I don't even think that they're the person that is on this. I don't think that it's ever really been... said, is it? Has it?
That I don't know. Let's see.
I'm going to bring up my info. This one was released April 23rd, 1971. So again, in the middle of that super creative period for them. The first single was Brown Sugar with Bitch as the B-side. And the second single, again, just two singles, Wild Horses and Sway on the B-side. I have another version of it.
I really think the cover is probably the greatest rock and roll cover of all time.
It might be, yeah.
And this was the first time the Rolling Stones' tongue
made an appearance.
Yeah. So and that this is when their logo was created.
Yeah, and Andy Warhol, he was behind the art direction for this cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Warhol.
Yeah. So, at the time, you know,
it created a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you look close, there's maybe more than meets the eye.
Yeah,
which is a bad way to say that. But yeah, this is definitely historic on a lot of levels.
And I know early copies of the CD actually had the zipper too.
Oh yeah, right. They did. But this one has Brown Sugar, Sway, Wild Horses, Can't You Hear Me Knocking, which again, why was that? That's definitely a top.
Yeah, why is that song buried?
Why is that not a single? You Gotta Move, Bitch, I Got the Blues, Sister Morphine, Dead Flowers, and Moonlight Mile. It's a great album, top to bottom. And I'm hearing beeping. Am I having a stroke?
You're okay.
Oh, okay. So they did their Zip Code tour like 5-6 years ago, pre-COVID. And it basically highlighted this album, get it, Zip.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what it was from.
Oh, so they, Zip Code.
They played a lot of the songs from this album. They may have played the whole damn thing. I don't think they played it in order, but I think they may have played the whole thing. But yeah, it was kind of an homage to Sticky Fingers. So it's a good one, man. And this is a great copy. But let me just show you. I have two more versions of this. I have one that doesn't have the zipper, and if it doesn't have the zipper, it's always going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
And then the other version I have, I got for free because I bought like an anniversary CD of this. And this is early in the vinyl thing. It was probably like in 13 or could have been 2011. But I bought the CD from Target, and it was a double CD with extra stuff on it. And there was a coupon inside of it to get the vinyl. I sent the coupon in and they mailed me this.
For free. With just the
picture of the zipper.
Picture of the zipper. And I've got one of those too that I got from not Urban Outfitters, but maybe Lucky Jeans or something.
Yeah.
One of those that they had for like $15. I'm like, I got to have a regular one.
Yeah, but I just think back and I'm like, I was still buying CDs. And I still do. If there's something that I want it to rip and have on my devices, I'll buy a CD.
Yeah.
But I bought the CD for probably, you know, $18, and I got the record for free. So that's pretty cool.
Which is pretty ironic.
Yeah, yeah. As much as they are now. I mean, this is a $40 or $50 record anymore. And I haven't looked on Discogs, but I should look and see what this one comes up as. All right. How do you feel about that in the third position?
I can, and really with the top three, it can be any order.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only reason I would put Sticky Fingers higher is because it's when the Rolling Stones' Tongue appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty monumental in the band, because that's how everybody knows the band and the artwork.
Okay. Well, what did you have at number three?
For my number three.
Oh, yes. I'll move this.
Favorite Stones album.
It's a good one.
Beggar's Banquet. And
see, it's officially number three. Man, you have such nice penmanship.
You may be the only person who's ever said that.
Can you write me a prescription, please?
Yeah.
I love this version of this.
Yeah.
But the original cover.
And that's one of those ones that I've got on my list that I want to get like a deluxe version,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really do as much with some of their deluxe versions. Like I want outtakes and all the other stuff that goes with it.
Yeah. So Beggar's Banquet was released 6 December, 1968 and was recorded March through July in 1968. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. That's a fast turnaround.
So the first single for this, Street Fightin' Man, with No Expectations on the other side. And the big one on here is Sympathy for the Devil, which I know is your favorite Stone song.
That's probably my favorite song of all time.
And this is a fantastic record. Let me get to the rest of what's on here. So you got Sympathy to start it out, No Expectations, Dear Doctor, Parachute Woman, Jigsaw Puzzle, Street Fighting Man, Prodigal Son, Stray Cat Blues, Factory Girl, and Salt of the Earth. So having looked through this, I think this is our number three. And I say we put Sticky Fingers
higher.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
because I definitely like Sticky Fingers better than this record, but Sympathy for the Devil is like an all-encompassing.
Yeah. And this song. This was really the kickoff of their high creative period. This is when they became massive.
Yeah. And just for anybody that doesn't know, the original cover of this is like a shot of a toilet in a bathroom with a bunch of stuff on the wall.
Yeah, it's like a seedy dive bar bathroom.
It's like, it seems like that story like goes through their entire career.
Yeah.
So many of their records had alternate covers because whatever they came up.
They offended somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to love that. I mean, the Beatles weren't doing that stuff.
No.
But yeah, I think this does go in the number three spot.
RSVP.
Well, give me the card and I'll do that.
And there's all the...
And I do love this version of it because of the like the script lettering and it looks like an invite. Let's look at the inside here. Oh, it's just got like a Decca list of other Rolling Stones albums.
And this was probably another German. Yep. Another German import.
So these are always cool. These paper...
Yeah.
Slip covers. It just kind of reminds me of going through my parents' records when I was a kid. And you'd see these like on Frank Sinatra records or something. You'd see the other albums in his catalog. And sometimes down here in the corner, there'd be a little coupon you could cut out and join the fan club or order stuff.
Like the their first album in Germany was Around and Around.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. So if we do slide this, where the hell? If we do slide this into the third position, which I think is a perfect place for it to be, think of your secretary. What do you think numero dos is then?
Numero dos. And again, this could be number one.
Let It Bleed.
Let It Bleed.
Yes. I don't know. That's a tough call between this one and Sticky Fingers.
Which came out the next year.
69. Yep.
So those are two back-to-back fabulous albums.
Mm-hmm. And the only single on here was Let It Bleed with You Got the Silver on the B-side. And this says released January 1970, Japan only. So does that mean that they didn't even release a single from this in the U.S. or Europe?
Interesting.
I cannot believe how much fucking beeping there is going on out there. It sounds like there's a hospital. Sounds like somebody's in the hospital next to us.
We've lost.
Hey, at least they haven't fucking flatlined yet.
We've lost the patient.
So, 60, what did we say? 69.
Yep.
Again, part of that super highly creative period for them. It looks like they recorded this for a year, November of 68 through November 69.
Well, and that makes sense. They were kind of, it was sandwiched between a greatest hits.
Yeah.
Through the Past Darkly.
Yep.
And Get Your Ya-Ya's Out.
Oh, we were going to talk about Get Your Ya-Ya's.
Yeah.
Not just like the best Stones record.
But it's widely considered to be the best live album ever.
Yeah. I love it. It's phenomenal, down to the donkey on the cover.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. You know, doing this kind of thing, putting them in order, it's interesting to see the differences between what you have and I have. But again, it's one of those things that you, when you get like 800 or 1,000 records.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, you got the donkey Charlie. With the guitar and the drums, and Charlie's got the guitars in his hand. And
the boob shirt.
I didn't even know. I've never even noticed that. That's great. That's just fantastic. No, this is a great live album. Of course, doesn't count in our countdown, but you've got Jumpin' Jack Flash, Carol, Stray Cat Blues, Love in Vain, Midnight Rambler. Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah.
And Sympathy for the Devil, Live With Me, Little Queenie, Honky Tonk Women, Street Fightin' Man. It's a really, really good record.
It's
man.
A great record.
So I think, just thinking out loud here, we have Beggar's Banquet at 3. I think this is numero dos. Right.
Bleed.
And I think Sticky Fingers is number one. Personally.
That's what I had.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, we can agree on that. Well, yeah. Let's, you know what?
And there's some great songs on here. It's weird about the singles. I don't know what's going on with that. That would take a little more research.
Yeah.
Then I mean, maybe albums were doing so well that record companies were not too concerned about singles at the time.
It could be. I mean, again, people were sort of pushed away from the singles thing by the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, and albums became an art unto themselves.
Yeah.
So that could have something to do with it,
yeah, too. It could have.
Although when I was a kid, I was still buying 45s, you know, with a little plastic converter in the middle of them. Yeah. Yeah. I bought 45s and I won 45s one night from WZPL.
The call-in?
The top nine at night. Was it top nine at nine? Hot nine at nine, I think. Yeah, and if you were the ninth caller, you got all of those records, and I won those one night. So luck shined on me that evening, because what did I need? More records.
More records. But, I mean, you know, you've got Let It Bleed, Love in Vain, Midnight Rambler, Give Me Shelter.
Can't Always Get What You Want. Give Me Shelter is another great song.
The tour and recording film Gimme Shelter by the Mayall brothers
it's great,
which I think didn't Scorsese do a camera on?
Maybe.
I think he did.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. No, that's a
and I love Monkey Man.
Yeah, Monkey Man's great too. Now I'm considering whether or not this should be one or two. I still think Sticky Fingers is number one, and it's to me for the reason that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the music, the album, the beginning of that high creative period, but also when that logo made its first appearance.
The logo making its appearance, because that is the band.
That's what people identify with the Rolling
Stones.
Yeah,
I mean,
now.
To think that it, you know, they'd been around for almost 10 years before that even happened. It's like, wow, really?
Yeah. It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so this is two. Want to put Sticky Fingers back up there? I'll grab it.
I got it.
Okay.
Sticky, you're back up.
So do you have those in the order of how we have them? So we can just refer back to it?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I think, to me, this is their biggest album. It's their image, their music, their live performance, the beginning of... How long was that period? It was like through 74.
68 through...
Like 5 years.
Exile.
Yeah. Which was... You'd think I'd be able to remember that.
72.
72.
Yeah, so it's really a...
5 years.
Yeah, 5 year period.
Yeah. And everything that happened for this band that makes them as huge a stars as they are really started with this record.
Yeah.
You know? Is there any info? I need to get that.
Well, there's the Spanish issue, which I don't even know what that is.
It's two fingers
coming out of a can of something.
Yeah, two fingers that have been cut off of a hand in a what looks like a can of beans.
I don't know that that's any less offensive.
I think it's more offensive than the original.
I would. Know. I would like to have that.
Yeah.
That cover.
I think I think in 21 there was a 50th anniversary and they repopped with that cover.
Oh, really?
That you could get, but I'm sure it's astronomically expensive now. But yeah, this is what I think of when I think of the Rolling Stones. And it's the imagery. I mean, it's what you put with these bands and these albums, right?
Oh, yeah. And this was recorded in the Muscle Shoals studio in Alabama.
Yep.
In 69.
Yep. Dwayne Allman probably played on this.
Oh, yeah.
Because he played on everything in that studio. So.
And this is the studio where they cut You Gotta Move, Brown Sugar, Wild Horses, Sister Morphine. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yep.
They should have just done everything at that studio.
But again, you got to think about it. I mean, because of their tax stuff, you know, they couldn't. I mean, I'm sure that played into where they recorded.
Yeah, they were definitely a moving. Tax,
drugs. Yep.
I don't think any.
Are you asking for them or offering?
Yes.
Both. Oh, okay. Yes.
I want a tax and I want drugs.
Hey, if I had any, I'd share.
Yeah.
I probably do, actually. Nothing good. Yeah, just the lore. I mean, all of the stuff we've talked about, the cover, the imagery, the music, how creative they were beginning to be, coming into their own, all of it makes this record absolutely the one that I think of, and I think probably a lot of people probably, when they think of a Stones record, it's this one.
And the band had promo shots. I'm going to stand up.
Oh, boy. Of people holding the record in front of them?
Of all five band members holding the record.
Oh, really?
As like a pants shot or the behind.
With nothing on?
No, they had pants on.
Oh, okay.
They were just holding it, you know, like, hey, look at me.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah. Does your zipper work here?
Yeah.
Does it? Cool. I don't want to. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And that's another thing, too. A big thing in record history is the fact that they did this, and it became such a damn nightmare for retailers and people shipping them. And they had to, didn't they have to solve it by taking up room in the boxes they shipped them in? They had to put cardboard pieces so that it wouldn't
mess up the other records.
So that's a huge thing too. I mean, to kind of upend the
industry
by putting a zipper on your
cover. Oh, now we got to do this.
Well, the next time somebody puts a zipper on your cover, we'll take care of it. No, that's good, man. I feel good about that. Do we want to go back through and just name the records?
Sure.
Okay. So number one.
Number one.
Sticky fingers. I'll take it.
Number two.
Let it bleed. I love this cover too. Because you've got the cake and a film canister, and that looks like a bike tire.
Yeah.
And then
a pizza, a clock.
Oh, a pizza. Yeah. And then the record
is down there.
Yeah. And it looks like an old school
Victrola.
that's awesome. So Let It Bleed, number two.
And number three, Beggar's Banquet.
I feel very good about that.
And all my versions of the top, well, at least these are all German imports.
Yeah, because you had the record store buy you.
That would have all these German imports for a really reasonable price.
Cheaper than the American ones.
Yeah, and I was a broke college student, so it made sense.
Cool. Number four.
Number four.
Their magnum opus, Exile on Main Street.
Which, and again, our order is not necessarily the end-all, be-all order.
It will not be. I'm sure we'll have other people telling us differently. See, what we had to pick from, I don't even know how many studio records the Stones have. It's probably in the 40s.
No, it's not as many as you think. It's really? Like with Hackney Diamonds, I think it's like 25.
Really?
Yeah. because they don't include live albums and greatest hits.
Hits and compilations and stuff. Okay. Yeah. So Exile, number four.
Number five.
Some girls.
And I really like Some Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it. If we'd started with, you know, let's rank the Stones albums since 75, it would be number one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah.
And kind of, there's so many good ones, kind of gets lost in the shuffle of all of them.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So that's number five. Big comeback record at number six, Tattoo You.
Tattoo You.
Yep.
And again, I mean...
I love that you paid $3.49 for this.
From Tony's store, second time around.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, I didn't even see. I need my readers. That's great.
And, I mean, the art on all these is just... I would not be ashamed to have any of these on my wall.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just beautiful.
Yep. Keith on the back. Number six.
Number six.
When the Stones became the Stones.
Aftermath.
1966.
Yeah.
Really, really good record.
Yeah.
But it has to have Painted Black on it. Sorry. Yeah. Got to have the American version.
Yeah, I've got the Decca, so
yeah.
That's one I need to get.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Number seven.
Number seven, Goat's Head Soup. And again, these last three slots could, there's a bunch that could slot in there.
Yeah, could be like, interchangeable.
An argument could easily be made for, let's put Emotional Rescue in there.
Yeah.
Because I really, really like that album.
I think Emotional Rescue would probably be a number 11 for me.
Yeah.
For sure. All right.
Between the Buttons.
Yes.
And this was, I think this was Brian Jones' last
record.
Last record.
Yep.
Before the pool accident.
Yep. So that's, what,
eight?
Number nine. Goat's Head Soup.
It's a good one.
Well, I know this one was number 10.
English newest hitmakers. It's always fun to take an artist's work and kind of condense it down. Like, it was difficult with Zeppelin, but they've got such a smaller catalog.
Yeah, that it's a...
That difficulty, I don't know if it's more difficult with less or more difficult with more. I know that I could name like four records that I think that I would... In my list, I did a 10, and then I put special mentions below it. And one of the special mentions was Voodoo Lounge, which I think came out in 91. That was that 91 or 92? But again, that was after Steel Wheels, so they had come back together, you know.
Oh, did we?
We talked about Steel Wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also another special mention.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have always said that I love their contemporary stuff. I love Bridges to Babylon. That's a good record. I got that, I think I was in grad school when I got that one. But I haven't gotten Hackney Diamonds.
I've heard really good things about that.
Yeah.
And that has actually made some people's top, that one.
So this is the one before Hackney Diamonds, and this is basically just a blues record.
Yeah, and it ranks very high on every list.
Yeah.
It may not be in the top 10 on every list, but it's really close. It's pushing it.
Yeah, I love this one. This came out probably 18 or 19, I think.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it forever because it was expensive
forever.
And then it came down and I snatched it. But this is another good one too. This is basically them, you know, doing a bunch of blues standards. And it's great. Sounds really raw, really live. As a studio album and one of the more contemporary ones, I really like it. But I just want to point this one out again too. We talked about this on... This is a compilation, but just because of the awesome shape of the cover, I mean, it's really, really cool.
It was always one of those, when I'd look at it in the record store, I'm like, why is it this weird shape?
Yeah. I mean, you don't see that.
No.
Very often.
Not anymore.
No. But I've always loved it. Yeah. Got that shot of them there.
Yeah, and this was... Cool. Kind of their
Shattered Shadoobie.
I like how in here they give a little posthumous
Yeah.
To kind of, Brian Jones.
Yep. Yep. But as far as the greatest hits, this is my favorite greatest hits of theirs, but just the great songs on it.
Yeah, and they pull from...
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. So that's a special mention. If you ever see this for a reasonable amount of money, just go ahead and buy it because... Yeah.
It's a good one to have.
Yeah. But like I said, it's always fun to distill everything you have down to 10. And we know how much people love lists. So that's why we're doing this.
Yeah. Lists are good.
We didn't have any knockdown, drag out arguments.
No, I think with a lot of lists, I think the bottom of the list, like the...
Is hardest.
Right. I mean, I'm not crazy about Her Majesty or yeah. The Majesty's special, whatever it's called.
Satanic.
Yeah. Satanic Request. Yeah,
they had to throw Satanic in there.
But Dirty Work is not a very good album.
No.
It's just not.
Is that the one with Harlem Shuffle?
No. That is the, or maybe it is.
I think it is.
Yeah, maybe it is. Which that's probably it on that album.
Yeah. No, they've got so much. And, you know, when you have to dig in and make a list and prioritize them, it really kind of gives you that familiarity with it. There's just so much there. And the fact that they're still doing it is respectable enough.
Like I know itself. Undercover.
Oh, yeah.
Is a lot of times not ranked very. I like that album.
Yeah. And that was what, like 83 or 84?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think it followed up Tattoo You.
Yeah. So... But it's fun to prioritize these and go through them and kind of, instead of, you know, putting 10 records together of, you know, various artists, it's really fun to dig into one and come up with favorites from that. So who's going to be the next victim if we do a ranked? We did Zeppelin, and now we've done the Stones. Pink Floyd would be fun.
Pink Floyd would be fun, and they would be a lot like the Stones, where we do the top 10. I would like to do a more contemporary one, like the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, yeah.
Or U2.
U2 would be good. Them Four.
Yeah.
But no, it's always fun to do this, and... You know, we welcome your suggestions. And if you have any ideas for the next ranked show that we should do, please share them with us on our socials. We want to remind you that our podcast and our YouTube channel are just chock full of little video and audio nuggets for you guys to go after. And again, another thing that you can do to listen to the podcast is go to YouTube Music. Listen to the podcast through there. You can see the video. You can choose to listen to it without the video. And again, you can turn your phone off and the sound keeps playing. Or you can just listen to the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. But we want to thank all you guys for coming along on the journey and joining us in this madness. And again, give us ideas of what to do in the show. Tell us what you don't like. Anything else, John?
Tell us what you like.
Yeah, please. Maybe preface what you don't like with what you do, and then it'll make it seem a little like less insulting. I don't know. We don't hear that many bad comments. The only time we hear bad comments is when we do our three things and everybody's got
our shorts.
Everybody's got an opinion about those. But we want to thank all of you guys for coming along and doing this thing with us. That right there is Wheels, and I'm Jay, and we'll see you all the next time around. It's a- Sure.